Canada seeks end to U.S. alcohol ban as trade deal looms. A U.S.-Canada trade agreement taking shape on August 19, 2026, would represent the most consequential bilateral trade reset in North America since the original USMCA was signed. With proposed tariff cuts on Canadian steel and aluminum from 50% to 25%, and on Canadian-built vehicles from 25% to 15%, signaling a structural shift in cross-border supply chains that institutional investors cannot afford to ignore. Trade negotiators from Washington and Ottawa met for the third consecutive day on August 19, as U.S. President Donald Trump paused a threatened new wave of tariffs on Canadian goods, buying space for a deal that multiple sources describe as potentially finalized by Friday, August 22. Under the framework reported by U.S. and Canadian media, American levies on Canadian steel and aluminum would be halved, dropping from 50% to 25%, while the headline tariff on Canadian assembled vehicles would fall from 25% to 15%. The scope, if confirmed, covers Canada's four most trade-exposed sectors: steel, aluminum, automobiles, and lumber. Full terms have not yet been announced. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer, speaking to reporters after a 45-minute session with Canadian Trade Minister Dominic LeBlanc on August 19, said the U.S. was very happy and that the agreement eliminated some of the irritants between the two countries. "We feel confident that we've reached an agreement that will not only continue to protect American workers, American jobs, American supply chains, but really strengthen the North American economy," Greer said. Dennis Darby, president of Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters and a member of Prime Minister Mark Carney's Advisory Committee on Canada-U.S. Trade, told the BBC he was optimistic a deal was close. "The committee was informed this morning that the negotiations continue and that we're close, and that's more positive than we've seen in some time," Darby said. The stakes extend well beyond Ottawa and Washington. North American manufacturing supply chains are deeply integrated, and tariff uncertainty since 2025 has compressed capital expenditure decisions across the industrial corridor from Ontario to the U.S. Midwest. A deal that restores predictability, even at tariff rates above zero, removes the single largest variable suppressing valuation multiples in Canadian industrials, auto-adjacent suppliers, and metals processing. For private equity sponsors sitting on platform companies exposed to cross-border trade, the timing of this resolution arrives at the exact moment exit conditions in North American industrials are recovering. Steel and aluminum. The math behind the tariff cut the proposed move from 50% to 25% tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum is not a return to free trade. It is, by our calculation, a 50% reduction in the tariff burden on those goods, and the directional signal matters as much as the absolute level. Canadian steel and aluminum producers have operated under punishing margin compression since tariffs escalated in 2025. A 25 percentage point reduction in the effective rate directly improves landed cost competitiveness for Canadian origin metal entering U.S. fabrication and automotive supply chains. For private equity-owned metals platforms with Canadian production, the EBITDA impact is straightforward. Input costs fall for U.S. downstream buyers, demand for Canadian feedstock increases, and capacity utilization at Canadian mills improves. The implication for deal pricing is equally direct. Industrial assets in Ontario and Quebec's aluminum belt that were valued at distressed multiples through 2025 and early 2026, on the assumption of sustained 50% tariffs, now command a re-rating. Buyers who moved during peak tariff uncertainty are positioned for meaningful multiple expansion as the trade overhang lifts. Canada's Dairy Supply Management Program, covering production quotas, pricing, and import quotas on dairy, eggs, and poultry, will remain entirely intact, according to Trade Minister LeBlanc. That carve-out matters for agri-food investors. The dairy sector, described by the BBC as one of Canada's most politically protected industries, did not become a bargaining chip. For investors in Canadian dairy-adjacent processing, that removes a tail risk that had been priced into valuations. Autos. A 10-point tariff cut reshapes the Ontario corridor. The proposed reduction in U.S. tariffs on Canadian-built vehicles from 25% to 15% is the deal's highest profile concession for manufacturing capital. Canada's automotive sector is concentrated in Ontario, home to assembly plants operated by global OEMs including Ford, GM, Stellantis, Honda, and Toyota. A 10 percentage point tariff reduction restores a meaningful portion of the cost advantage Canadian plants held before the tariff escalation. For Tier 1 and Tier 2 auto suppliers, the relief compounds. Lower vehicle tariffs incentivize OEMs to maintain and potentially expand Canadian assembly capacity, which flows downstream to component suppliers. Our view: the auto tariff reduction is not sufficient to trigger new greenfield investment in Canadian assembly. At 15%, U.S. tariffs on Canadian vehicles remain elevated relative to the pre-escalation baseline. The signal, rather than the absolute rate, drives near-term capital allocation. Private equity sponsors in Canadian auto parts platforms should expect an improvement in revenue visibility and order backlog. The conditions that precede sponsor exit processes, within 2 to 3 quarters of deal confirmation. Trump said the proposed agreement would be welcomed by U.S. farmers and manufacturers, and that Canada had agreed to eliminate tariffs on U.S. farmers, though he did not specify which agricultural sectors would benefit. He acknowledged U.S. tariffs on Canada would fall by a little bit, a formulation that suggests the headline reduction is asymmetric. Canada concedes more than it receives in proportional tariff relief. Key figure: U.S. tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum proposed to fall from 50% to 25%. U.S. tariffs on Canadian vehicles proposed to fall from 25% to 15%. Canada's dairy supply management program confirmed to remain intact. Full deal text not yet public as of August 19, 2026. The alcohol boycott reversal. Consumer signal, not economic driver. Nova Scotia Premier Tim Houston confirmed on August 19 that Carney had asked Canadian provinces to return U.S. alcohol, including whiskey, to retail shelves as part of the trade gesture. Most Canadian provinces removed U.S. alcohol from retail sale last year, in retaliation for Trump's tariff escalation. Houston was candid about the limits of this concession. Now, whether Canadians will really buy it when it's back on the shelf, that's a whole other discussion. That observation is analytically important. The boycott reversal is a political signal, not a demand reset. A polling firm Ledger survey cited by the BBC found that 56% of Canadians wanted the Carney government to take a hardline approach in trade negotiations. Consumer sentiment, even if purchasing behavior partially normalizes, is unlikely to recover to pre-boycott levels on a short timeline. For spirits producers and distributors with Canadian market exposure, the shelf reinstatement removes the structural barrier to distribution. Volume recovery will lag. Investors in U.S. spirits companies with meaningful Canadian revenue lines should model a gradual, rather than immediate volume restoration. Macro headwind. Energy inflation complicates the industrial recovery thesis, a critical cross-current for any North American industrial recovery thesis arrived in separate data released August 19. UK inflation rose to 2.9% in the year to July, the highest reading in 4 months, driven by a 13% increase in the Ofgem household energy price cap, which added £221 to the typical annual bill. The driver is geopolitical. Energy costs surged after the U.S.-Israel war with Iran began, restricting global oil supplies and triggering effective closures of the Strait of Hormuz, a key passage for oil and liquefied natural gas shipments. Cornwall Insight. an independent energy consultancy, projected a further 4% rise in household energy bills from October, which would take UK energy costs to their highest level since July 2023. European heatwave conditions are compounding the pressure, with elevated gas demand for power generation to meet air conditioning needs. The UK data is not directly a Canada-US story. The connection is transmission. A sustained Hormuz disruption keeps global energy input costs elevated for industrial producers on both sides of the Atlantic. Canadian aluminum smelting is energy intensive. If global LNG prices remain elevated through Q4 2026, the margin benefit from tariff relief in Canadian metals is partially offset by energy cost pressure. Industrial private equity investors should model both variables simultaneously rather than treating the trade deal as a clean upside catalyst. The Plaquemium view the market is pricing this deal as a bilateral trade story. Plaquemium reads it as the opening move in a USMCA renegotiation cycle. Darby was explicit about what the business community wants: a return to the terms under USMCA, with most goods flowing tariff-free through Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. The deal being assembled this week is, by his framing, a first step. That framing has a specific implication for capital allocation timelines. If the August 2026 framework is the floor rather than the ceiling of tariff relief, the investment thesis in Canadian industrials is not a one-event re-rating. It is a multi-year multiple expansion story tied to successive rounds of tariff reduction as USMCA 2 negotiations proceed. Private equity sponsors should be building platforms now, at valuations still depressed by residual tariff uncertainty, rather than waiting for the full treaty text. The second-order play is Mexico. Any USMCA renegotiation that restores Canadian access at competitive rates will simultaneously invite scrutiny of Mexican manufacturing advantages built up during the tariff escalation period. Nearshoring investments into Mexico that were premised on Canadian tariff disadvantage face a reevaluation if Canada recovers parity. Institutional capital with dual exposure to both corridors needs to stress test that scenario explicitly. The political constraint is real. A 56% majority of Canadians favoring a hardline approach means Carney has limited runway to make visible concessions beyond what is already on the table. Dairy is protected. The political cost of further concessions on supply management would exceed any economic benefit Carney could claim. That ceiling constrains how far the deal goes, which means a full USMCA restoration remains a multi-year, multi-election process rather than a 2026 outcome. The bottom line, the U.S.-Canada trade framework crystallizing in the week of August 19, 2026, removes the highest-risk scenario for Canadian industrial capital: a sustained 50% tariff regime with no negotiated exit. What replaces it is a partial relief structure that improves margin visibility without restoring free trade. For private equity sponsors in Canadian metals, auto supply chains, and adjacent manufacturing, the immediate priority is executing on exits or add-on acquisitions before the tariff relief is fully priced into public and private market comparables. The window between deal announcement and market re-rating is measured in weeks, not quarters. Sponsors who waited for certainty will pay for it in entry multiples. Those who built positions under tariff-distressed valuations are now being handed their catalyst.